You know, sometimes God just comes and visits, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So when he shows up, we just need to relax and enjoy it. Be part of it. Hallelujah. Let it impart to you, because see, His presence wants to impart something to you. His presence wants to leave you changed. And that change is going to look more like Him. That change is going to cause you to have the fullness that He's already wanted you to have. He's desired for us to have. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, today I want to just talk. We've been talking about trust. I'm going to talk about trust, and I'm going to talk about trust has an action. But even before we get into that, one of the songs mentioned the walls, and that God would come and He would break down the walls. He would come no matter what it took to break down the walls. He would remove every shadow. He would remove every wall. And when in that process, that does happen, and that's a wonderful thing. But there are times sometimes when a wall is erected and you didn't erect it. You know, I was one who was, let's put it this way. My hero was Spock, because he had no emotions, okay? Because he had no emotions. And so I emulated that in my own personal life. If something disturbed me, I just decided to have no emotions about it, and I built a little more wall. And after a while, I built a little more wall, and I really never really even thought about that process, because it was just how I learned to survive in the things that were going on, and how I learned to deal with people around me was build another little piece of the wall. But see, that was a wall of my own construction, and I never even saw it until I got saved. When I got saved, I began to realize the presence of God and the goodness of God and the goodness of the world around me, and I became aware that there was something between me and it, and that was this wall. But see, because I had constructed that wall, I had the power and the authority to destroy that wall. So little bit by little bit, I began to engage God and to destroy those walls. So now, if you come up and hug me, instead of hugging a fence post, you hug somebody who actually hugs back. Okay, there's a difference, okay? There's a difference that's very notable. In other words, I can share a love for you because why? Because I dissolved the wall. But see, not every wall in your life is of your own making and design. And this is something that I'm going to steal from Matt Sorger. He taught last weekend. But when Joseph, when he was being described by Jacob, who is now Israel at that moment, when Israel is speaking and releasing a blessing, he began to refer to something about Joseph that was remarkable. And in Genesis 49, verse 22, it said, Joseph is a fruitful bough, by a spring. Its branches run over a wall. Its branches run over a wall. See, in Joseph's life, Joseph had been called by God at an early age, and he began to declare what God's doing in his life to his brothers, and his brothers hated him for it. And because they hated him for it, because he kept bringing out these dreams, they eventually took him and threw him in a pit and sold him off to the people who died, probably the only bidder who was walking by. So then Joseph gets transferred and he's off, and then he goes to Potiphar's house eventually out of that situation and becomes a slave in Potiphar's house. But he rises up within Potiphar's house because the blessing of the Lord was on him. So then he's falsely accused and he gets thrown in the dungeon. And in the dungeon he begins to rise up. See what's happening? He begins to rise up even in the dungeon, even in the prison, and he becomes the head of the prison, and ultimately he gets the attention, because of his interpretation of dreams, he gets the attention of the Pharaoh, which is essentially the king, and he becomes number two in the whole land. But see, Those walls that were put around him were never in him. Those walls that were put around him weren't of his own making. And the Lord, rather than knocking down the walls, the Lord caused him to grow up in such a way, to mature in such a way that he overcame the wall. He went, his branches went over the wall. In other words, no wall could contain him because he became fruitful in the eyes of God. And we bear the result of that fruit because, see, those people, those 75 people who went into Egypt became millions when they exited. And Moses began to speak and release the laws for those lands. And those laws still stand for our lands today. But that was only because one man overcame the wall. He allowed God to grow him past the wall. So sometimes there might be a wall in our life, some circumstance, some situation. We didn't bring it in. But God will give us the ability to overcome it, regardless of whether or not it goes down. Some days, he's going to kick the wall down for you. Other days, he's going to give you the strength, the ability to just grow past it. Because it's not your wall. It's not meant to contain you. Someone else might have designed it to contain you, but it's not part of God's plan for it to contain you. Hallelujah. See, sometimes when we're trusting God, see, you see that in Joseph's life. Joseph spent his lifetime trusting God in a remarkable way. And because of this trust that he had for God, God was able to use him, and he was not ever constrained to the environment that was around him. And because of that, he overcame the things that were put in his path, growing over the wall. Hallelujah. Okay. Remember, we started this, go with me to Psalm 37. And remember, we started this by this little journey by saying that faith has a voice, and that voice is yours. And recognizing a process of sanctification. See, if your faith has a voice, that voice is yours. God has a message for you. But it's not just for you, it's a message that's released through you. And it depends upon where you're at and where you're going, but your destiny is released as you release the voice he put within you. His design is released as you give voice to what he's put in your heart. See, oftentimes we want to speak out of our hurt or our pain, and God says, that's not what I'm looking for, but I have put something in you. And because what I put in you, I want you to release. When we do that, that can look like evangelism. That can look like just simply sharing your life with another. It can look like prophecy. It can look like just walking alongside someone who's hurting. But whatever it is, God's given you a voice. And he's going to give you the platform to release that voice. So in the process of getting to that platform, there's something that happens in our life called sanctification and transformation. Because there's no true promotion without the transformation. Because any promotion that happens without transformation will only result ultimately in shipwreck if there's not sufficient transformation to support it. We see that evidence, as we've spoken before. We see that evidence by those who win the lottery. You know, we all want a little. I mean, I could use an extra $1 million. I could use an extra $300 or $400 million. I got places to spend it. They're all good, just in case you were wondering. Well, a small, tiny portion could go to a bass boat. They do sell, Allison makes one. It'll go 100 miles an hour. I think that's the bass boat I need. No? I think that's the bass boat I need. It seats four people, so I could bring three of you with. Everybody say yay? Hallelujah. But we see, without that promotion that comes without the sanctification, without the transformation, it will result in destruction sometimes. Because, see, if you're not ready for that 100-mile-an-hour bass boat, guess what happens? It goes like this, and then goes over on his back, and then everybody gets hurt. Don't ask me how I know that. It's not good. So we're looking for transformation. Why? Because that makes our promotion permanent. But in this process, the Lord began to speak to me, and He began to show me that true sanctification will require a trust in God, a trust in Him and His Word, a trust that no matter what the situation might look like, He's got it. And that's what it says right here in Psalm 37, verse 5, is this. It says, that's 36, that's why it didn't look right. It says, commit your way to the Lord and trust also in Him and He will do it. Trust also in Him and He will do it. When you begin to commit your way, when you begin to cast those cares over on Him, when you begin to recognize that He's bigger than you are, when you begin to recognize that He can do it, now we're in a place where we can look to Him with trust. As long as you're thinking you can do it, who are you really trusting? Don't ask me how I know that one either. Because there's something that's in everyone to just want to do it and take care of it. One of the things that's been brought to my attention recently is that, you know, I'm not always very good about delegating something out. Why? I can't stand. Because my trust probably is more in myself than in God or some of the people that I'm asking for help. Not an indictment on the people, it's an indictment on me. That's why I had to turn away, because y'all were looking at me so holy. Like you never did that. So my trust is evidenced by my action. See, trust has an action. My trust is evidenced by what I'm actually doing, not what I'm saying. Trust has an action. Trust will begin to receive the Lord, accept Him, and rely upon Him. It will receive the gifts that He gives you. It will receive and have an expectation, a holy hope for Him to do it. See, trust will engage God. And engaging God means that you give Him first opportunity to do it. Because sometimes we give Him opportunity, but only after we've exhausted all of our resources. How many people have done that? Only see two hands. The rest of you need to be at the altar. Because we will engage Him, but it's like the last resort. But He says, to give me what? The first of all your... Okay. You know, that's not just your offering. He wants you to give Him the first of everything. You know, we're good about telling you that He wants you to give you the first of your offering, you know, or your income. But see, He wants you to give you the first of whatever it is. Because if you'll give it to Him first, you might save yourself a lot of time and frustration getting to where you're going to get anyway. One of my mentors used to say this, and he says, I've seen what I can do and I'm not impressed. We're all kind of in that situation some days. You know, we already know what we can do. But we tend to rely on that first. Hallelujah. I know I'm stepping on toes today. I can see it. So sometimes what we have to recognize that trust has an action, and that means we have to get outside of ourselves. Trust has an action. And it means getting outside of ourselves. It means getting outside of our comfort zone. It means getting outside of what we've traditionally done. It means getting outside what we can begin to imagine or that we've understood. See, transformation is a changing of heart. It's a changing of ideas. It's an embracing of something that's bigger than we are. That's part of the process of trust. When you see, I don't know if you guys know, a lot of you maybe because I've mentioned it before, but Todd White is an individual who just, I mean, if God shows him something, he just does it. He exemplifies trust. He exemplifies trust to an extraordinary extent, to where most people would not ever even have a thought for doing it the way that he does it. But see, there's something compelling when somebody begins to trust God. There's something compelling about that story. There's something compelling about the testimonies that result from just following what God chose to do. When we follow what God tells us to do, things change in our environment. Things are released in our environment. And they're broken free, they're broken loose in our environment. And things that might have held you or might have been a wall to you are mowed down or moved as necessary. Hallelujah. So, let's look at 1 Kings 17. Because trust causes us to get outside of ourselves. Trust will have an action that's not limited to our situation. Now, I'm gonna start in verse 9, but I'm going to just give you a little background. Elijah disappears on the scene. We don't know where Elijah comes from other than he's a Tishbite. But right here in 17:1, he's all of a sudden just here in the midst of things. He's obviously been doing things already because they know that he exists. But then he comes up to Ahab and says, you know, because of your great sin, basically what he's saying, you've done more sin than any of the kings before you. Because of your great sin, there's going to be a drought going on here. And so he said, the drought will go on until I come back to you and tell you the drought is finished. Now, you got to be kind of bold to go up to the king and say, because of your actions, we're going to have a drought. And when I show back up the next time, it's not going to end until I tell you it ends. That's pretty bold. And so the drought began, and the Lord sent him out, and he went to the stream, and he's by this stream, and the ravens are coming and bringing him food. They're bringing him meat, they're bringing him bread, and he drinks of the stream. Now, that's an interesting thing because, see, a raven is an unclean bird. It's one of the birds that are off limits to an Israelite. But yet, God has commanded these birds to bring. In other words, God is using something outside of his system to bring purity into his system. So he speaks here, and then let's go to verse 9. So arise, basically, the brook finally dries up. And so he says, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. Okay, so now he's taking a step of trust, a step of faith. He's stepping into a trust because he's already seen God responding to and doing what he said he was going to do. Remember the difference between faith and trust. Faith is something that you have towards something that's yet to come, something in the future. Trust is when you rely on what's already been said and shown, demonstrated. So it's really a faith of trust, a space of trust, because in this moment, God's already demonstrated his power and authority through Elijah. But he's sending him to Sidon. That's really interesting because, see, Sidon is a Gentile city. It also happens to be the city where Jezebel came from, who was Ahab, the king's wife, who was the source of so much of the problem that was going on in the kingdom. So he's sending him back to the very source of the problem, and he's beginning to do something with Elijah, even back to the source of the problem. So he says here, verse 10, he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, now notice, she didn't protest. She was already at the gate of the city. She was already being industrious. We're going to find out in just a moment that she was in a woeful situation. But she was doing everything in her own strength that she knew how to do. God doesn't call us to be a couch potato. We're supposed to do our part, but our part first is stepping out in faith and trust. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear, go, do as you have said, but make me a little cake, a little bread cake from the first, and bring it out to me. And afterward, you make one for yourself and your son. And afterward, okay, now she's just expressed, I have one bread cake. Well, okay, that's fine. Go make one for me. Now, I don't know about you, but that's probably not a normal response for you to just go and do this. I have one cake. I'm going to split it with my son, and then we're going to die. We're done. End of story. End of story. Yet here is the prophet, the mighty prophet of God, standing in front of her demanding that he get the cake first. You know, and I don't know about you, but it might kind of run through my head just as, you know, the prophet standing in front of you. You're the prophet, right? You're the one God's called, right? You're the one that God's blessing it on. Wasn't that a Mercedes camel that you rode up on? I just want to, you know, I mean, aren't you the one God's already provided for? Didn't the ravens feed you last week? Yesterday? Day before? In case you missed it, I haven't had anything to eat, and this bread cake is all we got. I mean, that's the situation she's in. But see, she tries to put her trust. She may or may not know who God is at this moment. But she decides to put her trust in the prophet who is representing God. Then Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go, do as you have said, or bring it first. Bring it out to me, and afterwards you make one for yourself. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. And the bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. See, it caused her, she was presented with an opportunity. But in order to receive the opportunity, she had to step out of herself. In order for her to receive the opportunity, she had to go beyond the borders and on beyond the boundaries that would have normally applied in that situation. Because most of us are going to look at the situation and go, hey, Prophet John, you're on. I got my cake. And I'm going to eat it. But she went and did as he said, because she put her trust. And because she put her trust, God was able to release provision. Because her trust ultimately wasn't in Elijah. Her trust was in the God that Elijah represented. And because she put her trust in the God that Elijah represented, God was able to release provision for her life in that situation. He released something over her that no one could have predicted. And here in the place that was the foundation, the place where Jezebel came from, she began to release a new understanding of what was required in the kingdom. The power and authority of the kingdom was released because someone chose to trust. Two someones, because Elijah was obviously trusting too, with all of his life. See, there's nothing that says trust like doing what the instruction says. Sorry. Got stuff falling all over the floor here. So go with me to 2 Kings. Chapter 4. Following the instruction says trust. Following the instruction means most of the time getting outside of yourself. I don't know that I've ever had God give me an instruction that I felt really necessarily prepared for. Most of the time when he's asked me to do something, it's beyond what I thought I could do in the first place. There are sometimes he asks you to do something that you're doing something with him and you have no idea what the end of it's going to look like. One of the times I kind of knew what the end should look like, but I had no way to get there. Because basically I had agreed to go to a meeting, but I didn't know where it was. But I just began to listen to the Lord. And I began to listen to the Lord, and I just drove. And as I drove, I would turn left, or I'd turn right, or go straight, following the voice of the Lord. And I pulled up to the house where he'd called me to go. In Houston, I mean, if you're a lot of cities or a lot of little towns, that's not necessarily a big challenge. But in Houston, that's kind of a big challenge, because it could have been anywhere. I had the general idea it was on the northwest side of town. I did not know where. And God will lead you there. He'll get you through if you choose to hear his voice and follow it through. There was one part in that journey where I was undecided. Was that a left or was that a straight? So I went straight and I got about two blocks further. And then I realized that was a left. Because it began to feel more and more wrong every little bit of space that I went. And then I was like, okay, well, let's back up to the last place where I was sure where we were. And then we'll just go the other direction. And sure enough, that actually turned out to be like one block from where we were supposed to be. What's that? Oh, yeah, and that was before cell phones, so there was no way to quickly resolve this problem. Cell phones have made some of these things, cell phones, smartphones, you can look up the address. Didn't even have an address, but you can look it up. Make some of these things a very different situation. But nothing says trust like doing the instruction. Nothing says trust by letting him take you outside your comfort zone. Why am I saying this? Because I'm preaching to myself, and so you guys just have to listen. It's not really even about you and your situation. This is really probably more about me and my situations. But at the same time, I want to recognize that it's a life lesson we all need to continually look back to. Hallelujah. 2 Kings 4, verse 1. Now, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." And Elisha turns to her and says, "What shall I do for you?" See, here's something she did. She always is extending trust because she's positioning herself under Elisha. She's saying, "My husband was one of your servants. My husband was one of your organization. You set this organization up, and I'm under my organization, and I'm in my full right to come to you with an expectation for you to resolve this situation." Because the creditors were trying to come and take the children as payment for what was owed. And she's saying, "Hey, prophet, I got a situation. And it's up to you to come alongside me." She's expressing trust. Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Now see, when we begin to step into trust, it will cause us to reevaluate what we really have. "I don't have anything but a jar of oil." In her mind, that meant there was nothing here. In his mind, because he's sharing the mind of Christ, it means you got everything you need. It's more than enough. Whatever is in your hand is more than enough. Why? Because whatever's in your hand, I can activate that and on your behalf. Whatever's in your hand, whatever I placed in your authority, I can begin to activate that on your behalf. When Moses was standing at the edge of the Red Sea, thank you. When he was standing at the edge of the Red Sea, and the whole Egyptian army was at his back, and all the people were looking at him and said, "Moses, you kind of led us into a trap." What did God say to him? He said, "Why are you whining? What's in your hand? Why are you whining to me? I prayed for something in your hand. Look at this staff that I put in your hand, and now raise that staff up over the water and let that staff begin to do what I've called it to do, because it's the rod of God. I want you to understand the authority that I placed in your hand. And because what's in your hand, that's what I've placed authority over, and that's what I'll work with. So Moses, raise your hand over the water." Now this oil was in her hand. So he's saying, "I'm going to interact with this oil that I placed and I've given it into your hand. So what I'm looking, causing you to do is to look and see what is I've placed in your authority. Because whatever it is, it's enough. Maybe I've placed a gifting in your hand. Maybe I've placed an object in your hand. But whatever it is, it's a piece of authority for God to use. It may just simply be a talent that you have. But when you'll yield it to God, it becomes a rod of authority to cause the waters to break away, to cause the waters to stand up on each side, to cause you to be able to walk through safely, even though your enemy is destroyed by the same thing." See, God influences what we have dominion over. She had dominion over this jar of oil. He said, "Then go and borrow a vessel at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even an empty vessel, and do not get a few. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour out into these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full." So he gives her a rhema word. He gives her a word that begins to change the situation of her life. Why? Because he's releasing through the thing that she has in her hand. But in order for her to do that, she has to step out in faith. She has to step out and trust what the man of God told her. "Steve, would you give me a big jar?" "Thank you." "Yolanda, I need a jar. I need a couple of jars. I know you got some jars. Give me some jars." Okay? Everywhere she went, she had to step out in faith. And, you know, some of them, "What do you need a jar for?" "Well, because this man said." He's going to pour all the oil in it. And why should I give you a jar? Maybe I should help wrap you up and take you to the hospital. It took for her to step out in faith. It took for her to step out in trust. It took courage. And then, you know, you think, well, that's not so big of a deal to just step out in courage. But the reality is, I've seen and experienced what happens when you do this, when you begin to step out and do something that's outside of the ordinary. Most of us are intimidated by stepping out in front of somebody like that. Most of us are intimidated by situations that are far less than that one would be, just simply stepping out and just representing a product. You know, if you just take a product and you want something, you have something to sell, you're stepping out with it to sell it to somebody. You have to present it and stand there in faith and in trust that what you're doing will benefit you and them. She had to get outside of herself. Faith gets outside of yourself. Faith steps out and makes a difference. Trust steps out to make a difference. So she follows his instruction. She went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. And it came about when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said, there's not one more. And the oil stopped. And she said, and she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest. Now, we're not talking about just a little bit of cooking oil. We're talking about something that was in their day and time, a treasure that obviously established that there was enough oil here that it was worth enough, valuable enough, that it not only paid off her debt, it allowed her to live for the next few years. God showed her how to come into trust with him and how to link that to a place of commerce. And so she became an oil baron, if we will, in that day and age. He used her, and it released something for the kingdom. Released something from the kingdom for the kingdom. Trust will release from the kingdom for the kingdom. It released a provision out of the kingdom for the kingdom. Why? Because she's part of the kingdom. Hallelujah. What we put our trust in shows where our faith is. John 21, we don't have to go there, but we can see. John 21, Jesus is risen. The apostles know that. But verse 3, Peter says, I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. I don't think he was just doing it as a recreation, because they were fishing all night long. They went back to what they knew. Why? Because their trust was still in that moment in what they knew, because they didn't fully understand what Jesus and his resurrection meant for them. They didn't fully understand it until the Lord began to make it apparent to Peter and say, Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than the thing that you've always done? Do you love me more than the thing that has provided for you? Do you love me enough to trust that even as I brought these 151 fish here today, do you love me enough to trust that I have it in my hand and I'll do it for you? That's what he was asking. He wanted him to release into a place of faith. He wanted him to come into a place of trust because what God had, and what Jesus had already demonstrated in his life. So if the apostles can miss it after walking with him for 3.5 years, guess what? If you miss it, it's okay. Jesus is going to be right back to you. He's going to be right back to you. And when he comes right back to you, he's going to have a whole nother provision for you in that moment. Hallelujah. And then if you turn with me to Acts 27. In Acts 27, we have a few things that are happening here. Paul was on a ship, put on a ship to be sent to Rome. And he told them before they started out, don't start out your course, it's too late in the year. It's not going to turn out well for you. But they didn't know Paul yet at that moment. They didn't know Paul yet at that moment until, and no one really believed him until the gales, the hurricane started. They called it Iraklon. Anyway, you got it. Anyway, they call it something else there, but it's still a hurricane here. And what we understand is the hurricane started kicking up. And so what they began to do is they began to cry out and they began to look for ways to lighten the load and to make the ship as buoyant as possible. And they were even considering probably throwing some people overboard because that's what you did. Now, that's not good news for Paul because Paul was probably one of the people that would get thrown over. But see, Paul's faith wasn't in the ship. His faith wasn't in the ship. His trust wasn't in the ship. His trust was in his God. And here's what he began to do. The Lord began to visit him. And we see this in verse 22 of chapter 20 of Acts 27. Paul to verse 21, and he says, when they had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in their midst and said, men, you ought to have followed my advice and not set sail from Crete and encouraged this damage and loss. Yet now I urge you to keep your courage, for there shall be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood before me, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you and all those who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep your courage, for I believe. That word believe there is the same word for trust. For I trust God. He's saying, I trust God that it will turn out exactly as I've been told. And ultimately, it did turn out exactly as he'd been told. The ship was destroyed on the rocks, but not one man was lost. Why? Because one man stood with a trust. One man said, I believe what God has told me. I'm going to trust what he's told me. And even though you didn't follow the advice that I had given you, which was coming from God, God is, in his mercy, still is going to use me to speak into your situation. And because our faith is not in this boat that we're standing on, my faith is in the God who will deliver all of us, not just me. So we see that when we stand out, we let him take us out of our comfort zone. We let him take us out of the things that we're familiar with. And we place our faith firmly in him, not in the circumstance. See, it would have been real easy to have your faith totally wrapped up in the survival of the ship. Because that's what a sailor is used to. If you're in a big boat, you're used to that boat's going to float you to wherever you're going. But his trust was in God. His trust was in God, and that empowered things to happen, that released a change of operation. One of the definitions for trust is a place to flee for refuge. See, they were fleeing to the ship for refuge. He was fleeing to his God. He said, my refuge is in my God. My refuge is not in this boat. My refuge is in my God. The apostles, when they went fishing, their refuge was in their ability to fish. But the Lord Jesus stood out there and said, hey, if you'll make me your refuge, I'll provide for you. You can forget about having to do all that provision that way. I'll provide. Today our challenge is to embrace Him. To embrace the refuge that He wants to be in our life. Because when we embrace Him as the refuge that He wants to be in our life, that's where our provision comes from. When we embrace Him for the provision that He wants to be in our life, when we embrace Him for who He wants to be, when we embrace Him in the place of trust, then He can release His goodness and grace on our behalf. Just as He did over a Gentile woman, just as He did over the woman in Zarephath, just as He did over Paul and all those who were with Him. Do you think there was anything in the centurions that had earned that place with God, that they be saved? God did that as a testimony to them. They ignored everything that the Lord was speaking, but God said, I'm going to release a testimony to you. Why? Because there's one man who's standing in agreement with me. Your trust has an action. It causes us to step out past the place where we're familiar with a lot. But it also has a result that's way past the things that we're familiar with. I encourage you this week, just continue to tell the Lord that you trust Him. And as you're telling Him that you trust Him, allow Him to show you how to step out in faith and in agreement with that trust. Because as you step out in faith and in agreement with that trust, He can release something on your behalf that's exceptional. He's called each and every one of us to be exceptional. We do that by stepping out in trust. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. With the heart, man believes or trusts unto righteousness. With the heart, he believes and trusts unto righteousness. An offering is an opportunity for trust. It's an opportunity to put trust into action. To put a place of agreement between you and the Lord. Trust releases provision. So I encourage you to just allow the Lord to speak into your heart. Allow trust to have an active place. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you.